Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Commanders, a new book from Professor Lloyd Clark, Director of Research at the Center for Army Leadership at the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst, as well as Professorial Research Fellow in War Studies at Humanities Research Institute, University of Buckingham. We address Once Upon a Time, men born in the 19th century who dominated the story, the tragedy of the First and Second War, the Great War, and its followed the Second War in the 20th century. And now the professor, using these examples and this detailed research, is looking for the mystery of leadership, once solved in the 19th and the 20th, and here we are in the 21st, always leadership. Professor, congratulations and good evening. Your book is a treat for me because you put these three men, George Patton, Bernard Montgomery, and Erwin Rommel, against each other's styles and schooling and the accidents of history. But at the same time, very economically, they come together on the world stage not once, not twice, but thrice over the first half of the second of the 20th century. So we begin with George Patton. The reigning detail about George Patton is that he was born into a well-to-do family and he never forgot it. Does that dominate stories about George Patton's youth, that he was well-to-do?
Yes, I think he recognized that he was a very privileged individual. His family upbringing, his education, his sports and pastimes all gave him a sense that he was privileged and perhaps destined for great things. I think that played out throughout his young life and indeed through his career.
Yes, and he spent an idyllic childhood and then off to West Point, where suddenly he's defiant, he's rebellious, he's troublesome. Was that always there, or did it emerge because of the discord he felt being with men, young men who were not as privileged as he is? Where did it come from?
I think it's George Patton's first real relationship with people outside his own class. And he began to recognize, perhaps for the first time, that he wasn't the brightest young man in the United States of America, that there were different points of view, not all of which he agreed with. And he also began to think that maybe, just maybe, there was a possibility that he wasn't quite as bright as he once thought he was. He found it very difficult to make meaningful relationships with his fellows at West Point. He was very much a loner, very much a man that pulled on his rank, such as it was at West Point, and felt that if he could be authoritative through military means, it would overcome some of the deficiencies perhaps that he had in character. And certainly his fellows in his class reacted quite badly to that.
He graduated in the middle of his class in 1909. At this point, he has a dream to be a general by 30, which is fantastically unrealistic in an army that their ranks were very slow. Where did he come up with the idea that he was going to be a general? Is that his family?
I think it is partly his family. His family had a long military tradition. And I think that Patton was always a person that needed to set himself goals, no matter how unachievable they may be, something that pushed him towards a certain outcome, whether that was to be a general by the time he was 30, to die a hero on the battlefield, whatever it might be. He consistently set himself those targets throughout his career. Sometimes he made them, sometimes he didn't. But in terms of his career progression, it was pretty slow. And certainly he wasn't a general by the age of 30, nothing like it.
The theme here is leadership. We go to Bernard Montgomery, born in London in 1887. Significantly, he's a preacher's kid. He never forgets it. And his father was a successful preacher of the Lord, and his mother was a disciplinarian. That is Bernard Montgomery, Professor.
It is, in a nutshell. There's an old question as to whether leaders are born or made. I think most certainly we see with Bernard Montgomery's upbringing that the influence of his parents was huge. He wasn't overtly religious. He wasn't a great churchgoer in that sort of sense, but he had great faith. He was spiritual. He certainly always followed the lessons of the Bible, and he was indeed evangelical in some of his leadership methods. And what we see with his parents are the work ethic that comes from his father and the coldness, the aloofness, the disciplinarian traits that he gets from his mother. And that really does follow Monty right the way through to the end of his life.
A strange detail. He goes to St. Paul's, and we'll come back to St. Paul's when we get to the big war in 44. But his parents decide he's not quite the scholar or something. It was very strange, and decided Sandhurst for him. And the choice of Sandhurst in the early, first part of this 20th century, was that a significant choice for a family, committing your son to Sandhurst?
It certainly was. There's often a case with families in the United Kingdom prior to the First World War, with what are they going to do with their sons? How are they going to make their way in the world? Sandhurst was always a very good option, perhaps for those that weren't the brightest in the family, didn't have any great interest in commerce or indeed going into the church. And certainly Montgomery wasn't the brightest in his class, far, far from it. He joined a class at St. Paul's that congregated together all of those that had the intellectual ability that was seen to be required by the army at that point, which wasn't particularly high. And therefore, Montgomery entered Sandhurst, not as one perhaps that was the intellectual weakness in the link at Sandhurst, but actually one who was amongst common fellows intellectually. He was one of many, and therefore his experience in becoming an officer through an academy was somewhat different to Patton's. Patton felt that he was perhaps the least intelligent. Montgomery felt certainly with his sporting ability and military understanding, the keys to leadership, that in fact he could hold his own.
Yes, focus, 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 and intense focus for Bernard Montgomery. He graduates and he's sent off to the British Empire, which is the subcontinent, Peshawar, as a junior leader. And he's learning now how to lead. There will be a theme that emerges in Montgomery's life, which is that he's unpopular with his peers. Did that show up in this first posting to the Royal Warwickshires?
Yeah, I think it did. We've got to remember that at this time, leaders were seen very much as born, that they came to the army with the inherent traits and requirements that leaders required in the army and indeed for Britain in the British Empire. But when Montgomery comes up against the working class soldier, it's his first real relationship with such men. He finds that he's got to change his style. He's got to actually try to better understand the men that he is leading and, in a sense, serving. And they didn't at first like his attitude, his arrogance, his superior knowledge of the army, when in fact he was very new to it. And so gradually he had to come to understand that context was everything, knowing one's soldiers was key, and he developed that skill.
By 1912, he's back home. And everyone's aware there's tension on the continent. The quote the professor provides, Bernard Montgomery committed himself to unending pursuit of clarity and ruthless self-discipline. Erwin Rommel, the youngest of the three generals, born in 1891, his parents were teachers, and he has the discipline of a lecturer at the same time. He was a very brave man, very recklessly brave man. He joins the 124th Württemberg Regiment. What is the significance of that at the time in Germany?
Well, at the time, Germany's made up of various principalities, and the southern German states, the Württemberg state, was about as far removed from Prussia, the dominant military and political force, as one could get, both in terms of its importance, one might say, politically to Germany, but also its location. And therefore, right from the outset, he was a bit of an outsider. And I think that that plays both on his mind as he joins the army, but also has an impact on his approach to his military career.
I'm speaking with Professor Lloyd Clark, Director of Research at the Center for Army Leadership at the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. We're looking at the theme of leadership through the lives and battles of three major generals from the 20th century. That would be Erwin Rommel, George Patton, and Bernard Montgomery. When we come back, At War. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bell.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.